From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. China is calling for envoys to the six-party nuclear talks to have an emergency meeting in Beijing. The move appears to be part of an effort to ease tensions between the two Koreas, and the proposal comes as war games between U.S. and South Korea are being conducted in the Yellow Sea. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing, there's been a non-committal response to the proposal.
At a hastily arranged press conference, China called on the six-party envoys to come back to Beijing to exchange views on major issues of concern. It stressed this did not mean the resumption of six-party talks on North Korean disarmament, but talks which might pave the way for that. However, there's been a lukewarm reaction. South Korea initially appeared to reject the idea, saying the time was not right, but later changed its stance, indicating it would consider the proposal seriously. A Japanese official said it would respond cautiously while coordinating with South Korea and the U.S. China's under pressure from the international community to rein in its old ally, North Korea. It's now trying to show it's moving to calm tensions with a flurry of diplomatic activity. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
European finance ministers are expected to sign off on a nearly $115 billion rescue for Ireland today, making Ireland the second Eurozone country to receive a bailout as a result of Europe's debt crisis. The British Treasury Chief, George Osborne, says Europe understands that it's important to help Ireland through its financial troubles.
It's in the whole of Europe's interest now that we bring this matter to a close, get some stability, get our economies growing.
Osborne spoke with Sky News. He's in Brussels, where he and his fellow Eurozone finance ministers are meeting. The State Department has written to the founder of WikiLeaks, urging him not to release secret U.S. diplomatic communications. WikiLeaks reportedly approached the U.S. ambassador in London with an offer to negotiate over redactions. Larry Miller reports from London that the U.K. is worried about the possible repercussions once the documents are made public.
U.S. Ambassador Louis Sussman has personally prepared the British Foreign Office for the disclosures. While the UK may be prepared to absorb the candid US views of its government, the Sunday Times quotes an official who says the files may contain phrases that would inflame the hotheads. The Times says British officials are concerned that UK nationals in Muslim countries could be targeted in a violent backlash over anti-Islamic views expressed in the diplomatic documents. A former British ambassador to Iran says Tehran will look for evidence that the U.S. promoted uprisings there or tried to sabotage its nuclear program. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
NATO says the leader of a Pakistan-based Taliban faction closely tied to Al-Qaeda has been captured. NATO says the militant is from the Haqqani network and that he was picked up Thursday in eastern Afghanistan. You're listening to NPR News. Police in Rio de Janeiro claiming victory over hundreds of drug gang members who were cornered inside a huge slum complex. The police, backed by helicopters and armored vehicles, moved into the slum today. The AP is quoting the head of the Rio State Military Police as saying they encountered less resistance than expected. Authorities cast the battle as part of a larger effort to stamp out violence ahead of the Olympic Games in 2016. Egyptians are going to the polls today to choose a new parliament. President Hosni Mubarak's ruling party is widely expected to win a majority, but there are concerns that the elections will be marred by fraud and violence. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports from Cairo that voter turnout is low, given a nationwide crackdown on the opposition.
Security forces are controlling who goes in and out of polling stations here in the Egyptian capital. Many registered voters and independent monitors complained to NPR that they were being kept out. Reports of deaths and injuries are also trickling in. The first fatality was the son of a candidate, although the government claims his killing was not related to the elections. These incidents follow a sweeping crackdown on opposition candidates and their supporters in recent weeks, especially those affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. The group is banned here, although it controls about a fifth of the seats in parliament by proxy. Analysts say the ruling party is seeking to weaken the opposition. That's to prevent any challenge to whom it names as a successor to President Mubarak if he doesn't run next year. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
Also today, voters in the West African country of Ivory Coast and in earthquake-ravaged Haiti are voting today. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington. Support.